Blog Talk Radio.
God gave me a future. He told me that I was predestined me for.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. That was Tamala Mann. Her new CD is called Best Days. And so she is truly a blessing to God's kingdom. And I had a chance to listen to her CD, and the songs sound real good. It's songs with messages in it. And so what a way to start the show. Welcome to the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis. We are bringing you the next hour and a half, 2 hours, conversation and information and prayerfully help and suggestions and recommendations on what can happen within relationships with the help of God. And just by, you know, regular people talking about situations that come up in relationships, all of us most of us, can't say all, but most of us will in our lifetime experience a relationship, and be it a marriage, be it a father-son or mother-daughter, or if you're engaged, or whatever level of relationship you are in, if the topic is hitting on a particular issue that you might be dealing with, it is our prayer, or that we might be dealing with, it is our prayer that something is said tonight that will help us along the way. And so God has blessed us yet to see another week. In fact, he is blessing us right now to speak to his people by way of internet radio, blog talk radio. And so we're just truly blessed. I want to start the show. I want to start the program, the broadcast, with take it away from the normal intro. I want to say this has been on my heart, and so I want to share it right now. I want to thank everybody who has been supporting and who is supporting the Western World One Network. We've been truly blessed by your support. God has his hand on Brother Dennis, and he gave Brother Dennis this vision about 5 months ago by way of entrepreneurship to and at the same time help God's people along the way. And he has moved forward with this effort diligently. One of the most humble brothers I know. If you talk to him, you can feel his spirit before he even say a word, and know that he is a man of God, and he is moving in a direction that God has him going. And just so the supporters know, God has not only blessed Brother Dennis with the radio programming, but within the Western World One Network, he has developed a broadcasting division, which happens Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday at this point. On Wednesday, you have the conversation, which is herbal issues. On Thursday, you have the relationship hour, which is how can we bring God into handling issues that take place in the relationship. On Fridays, he has the hip hop hour or the hip hop radio broadcast, and that's going really, really well. And then on Saturdays, it's a more mature conversation about issues of the day, a wide variety of issues. And so the broadcasting division is done very, very well. But that's not the only thing that God has blessed Brother Dennis to do. He also, if you haven't had a chance to visit the website, the Western World One website is www.westernworldone, that's O-N-E, not the number one, .com. And you can, just take your time and go through the website. It actually averages hundreds of views a day. He also has a marketing division where, by way of getting the word out, by way of promotion, by way of, networking, social networking, you name it. He has a hip-hop division, which deals with, the music, which deals with the keeping everybody updated or informed on what's going on with hip-hop. And then he also has a spiritual motivation and enlightenment division. And, of course, this Thursday night is a part of that, and we're looking for God to really develop this and help people and motivate people along the way. But something that happened about a week or two ago, which we're really excited about, and I'm going to allow him to elaborate on it within the program. He also now has a mobile app. He has a mobile app. And so if you on your phone have an app that, you can press and it take you to a game, or you could press and it take you to a particular weather, whatever, or you can press and it take you, well, now you can press a mobile app, Western World One, a mobile app, and it'll take you right to the Western World One page or whatever we got going on. So if it's the radio broadcast, you could just press that button and it'll take you where you can get directly and listen to the program. So God is just really moving on this brother and within this brother, and so I'm just blessed to be a part of what he is building. He's a young African-American man, and he is doing things by way of example also to the youth. And so he doesn't shine away from the youth. He seeks to keep everybody involved, and he is a man of God. And so we thank God for him, and we pray his strength. And I wanted it to be on the program right at the top. And as you know, we record these, so you can go and listen to it at any point. So I just wanted to pause right there and give honor where honor is due. Amen. Tell my brother to keep on going, man. And the future is bright. And just know that you got people with you. Just in 5 months, went from a few profile views to over 13,000. Went from a few hundred followers to over 14,000 followers. And so we just thank God what he is doing. We thank God for what he's about to do. And we pray that he will make of you and us what he would have us to be for his people. And so, like always, we always give our foundational scripture for the program, "Our people perish from a lack of knowledge." And that's a lack of knowledge of who God is and who he is to us, what he means to us. And so we seek, whenever we got issues in our lives, period, not only relationships, if we can have more knowledge of him, and we can seek him in all things, we'll be under the right direction to lead us in the right way. In fact, the Bible says, "I will lift up my eyes to the hills, from which come my help. My help comes from the Lord, who made heaven and earth." And so we know that God made everything. And so whatever we got going on, we could definitely take it to him in prayer. And if we have belief and faith that he can work it out and he can work on our behalf, then he does hear our prayers. So welcome, everybody. If you want to call in to the broadcast tonight, the number is 347-838-9106. If you don't want to call in, that's fine. If you're listening online, just enjoy the conversation. But we really pray that, you know, this is just not an entertainment piece for you, but we pray that you, you know, listen with an open heart. And prayerfully something will be said that'll help you in what's going on, or help us in what's going on in our relationships. Tonight we have a good topic. It's so good in that, you know, it has drawn a lot of attention. As soon as it went up, a lot of people have been interested in this topic, and it's infidelity. Undercover relationships. And so there was a study done, and we have percentages listed about people who are engaged in infidelity, who are engaged in or who have been or would like to be, and these statistics point out the percentages of people. For example, one says percentage of men who admit to committing infidelity in a relationship they've had is 57%. So half of relationships, or men who have, if they had 100 relationships, half of the 100 they have cheated. Or if you been with 10 women, you know, five of those women you cheated on. And so the same with the women. It says 54% of women admitted committing infidelity in a relationship they've had. So, depending on how many relationships you've had, you've cheated. And so the numbers are staggering. You would think that it'll be more in the 10 percentile or somewhere under 20%. But when it gets to half, that means that if I got out of a relationship today, based on these percentages, the next relationship I get in, it's a 50% chance that I'm going to commit some type of infidelity. And so we're going to go down these numbers, different areas of a relationship, be it, you know, if you had infidelity on business trips or with somebody in the office or with a brother-in-law and a sister-in-law or a sister-in-law. So it's really interesting information. And so we want to kind of go down this list and get feedback from the round table. We also want to get feedback from callers. If you call in, we'll try to get you in. And so we're just excited about what God is going to do tonight. We're excited about the participation tonight, and we look forward to getting the show started. And so we're going to take a quick break, and when we come back, Brother Dennis and I will have a quick conversation about the topic to get it going, and then I got a clip that I want to play, and to really set the tone for the conversation. And I see we got callers in already, and we want to make sure we bring them in. So just bear with us. We're going to take a quick commercial. When we come back, we'll get into the conversation.
The Western World One Network. Tune in to the Dennis Life Network featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show that is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com. The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and westernworld1.com until now. By using our mobile app, just log on to www.westernworld1.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. westernworld1.com. Tune in to the Dennis Life Network featuring our super...
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Our brother Dennis, yeah, listen, man, this is a topic that so often you might hear, you know, in a barbershop or may hear in a beauty salon, but it's always in a negative way when somebody says, yeah, he cheated on me, or yeah, man, she cheated on me, or you know, or when you hear about these type of conversations, it's not in a way of healing, but it's more in a way of kind of throwing more evil. Well, I'm not going to say evil, because a lot of people are hurt when they go through these experiences but don't know how to handle the pain. And so that particular pain turns into anger. And so I'm just trying to have a conversation tonight that we can talk about and possibly bring light to that pain so somebody can be helped, you know, somebody who might be experiencing this or somebody that might be doing this right now in their relationship. And that's what we seek to do, and, you know, to help to provide information that may help somebody. But these are some staggering percentages. And I want to ask you just right off the top. One percentage says, percentage of men who say they would have an affair if they knew they would never get caught. That percent was 74%. 74% of men. So if it was 10 of us, 7 out of 10 would say if they would never get caught, they would cheat on the one they with. What do you think about that?
Wow, that's deep. I look at that situation as that's more than out of, think about it, out of 100. If you do it at 100, that's 70. That's a lot, man. That's a high rate. Or, you know, I'm assuming that maybe they probably in a boring marriage or something of that nature to answer that. You know what I mean? It's got to be something that's missing from the marriage, and they probably asking them type of men that type of scenario. You know what I mean? Because if you're happy, I don't think that you would want it. You would do it. You see what I'm saying? So,
mm-hmm.
But it's very high, man. That's a high.
Well, let me ask you: does that support some arguments that all men are dogs?
Yeah, married men. well, it's his relationship, right?
Right. In a relationship, it says men who say that they will have an affair if they knew they would never get caught. So if I could turn into the invisible man and I know I'm going to never get caught, I would willingly go ahead and, cheat on my significant other. Does that support the argument that some may have that all men, because it's such a high number, 74% are dogs?
No, it supports majority, because if it support all men, it'll be 100%. So it support majority of the men, but you got to look at the whole situation when the numbers are outbeat. You know, a greater than or less than sign, if something is greater than or less than, a greater than is going to always win. So it's like technically it'll be pushed over, which technically is majority. But if you look at it worldly-wise, yes, I would have to agree with you because the majority rules. So, it's saying that mainly most all men are, you know, dolls or even have the even thoughts or the speculations of it. Yeah, I support that. Yeah.
Wow. Now, this is going to surprise some people. The study also says the percentage of women who say they would have an affair if they knew that they would never get caught, guess what that number is? Take a guess. What do you think? Just think about women today. What do you think that number falls? If men are 74%, what do you think women are?
They better be 75 or 73. I'm sorry, they better be 75 or 73.
Wait a minute, because the popular thought is that all men think about. Well, actually, the thought is men don't think. Well, let me say it a different way. What's on a man's mind when it comes to a woman, regardless of you know, if they got somebody or not, is getting with the next woman. And so, and then the on the flip side for the women, the portrayal is that they have been and are the victim. This type of mindset in terms of a man, you know, going out. You probably heard the saying, a man gonna be a man. You know what I'm saying? So with that type of mindset or conversation that's out there about men, so you thinking the women at that point, 73-75%, and the men are at 74, you think they're that high?
Well, you twist my arm since you said it that way. I give them 72.5.
But they still in the 70s is what you're saying.
They better be in the 70s.
Well, let me tell you, the statistics say that men, if they wouldn't get caught, if they knew they couldn't get caught, was 74%. Women, this is shocking to me, is 68%. That means if it was 20 of us in a room, 10 of us being men, 10 of us being women, that means 7 men would cheat if they knew they wouldn't get caught, and 6 women would cheat if they knew they wouldn't get caught. So it's almost neck and neck.
Wow.
And so it's interesting to see how. I don't know if times have changed. I don't know if women are just being more honest nowadays. I don't know if it's just a way of life now where it's almost a given that, you know, if they don't cheat, they're at least thinking about it. And thinking about if I wouldn't get caught, I'll go for it. It's just staggering to me. And it also lends support to, or insight is the word, into why a lot of relationships are probably falling apart, because crime starts with the thought. Lust starts with the thought. And so if we are romanticizing on a person. You know, I see somebody at the bus stop, and the rest of my day I'm thinking about that person. And I mess around to see that person again, I'm apt to say, hey, what's your name? Can I get your number? I'm not saying I would do it, but that's the way it works. Or if I see somebody, if I'm out at the club and I see somebody, I might not say nothing to them, but, you know, I'm all night, I'm dancing, I'm thinking about that person. Next time I see them, I might say, hey, how you doing? What's your name? And I could have somebody. And so it starts with the thought, romanticizing, man, you know, this person might be, you know, a little tipsy, you know, they might be a good, you know, opportunity, you know, or this person feeling me, or they, you know, looking at me, or you know, all type of stuff. It starts in the head. And once it starts in the head, it starts to grow legs. And once it starts to grow legs, you try it out, you test it out, and wind up putting ourselves in predicaments that sometimes regret being in. And so it's just staggering. The numbers are close to the same when it comes to if you would never get caught. Now, and I'm just going over this now because those that have already waiting to come in, we're going to bring them in. We're going to get to the calls early. We got people calling left and right. But I want to talk about this one right here.
Like, before you say something, Pastor, I want to just say, man, I am ashamed of these women. Go ahead.
Listen, you trying to start the conversation off with controversy already.
trying to tell my head and not to my heart.
but watch this. This is very interesting. It says percentage of men and women who admit to having an affair with a coworker. This is men and women now. With a coworker, meaning somebody they work with, is 36%. Meaning that 36% say they have had an affair with a coworker. Now that's not, you know, that's 3 out of 10. That's not too bad, or almost 4 out of 10. That's still bad, but you know. And then it says men and women who admit to infidelity on business trips. That means okay, I got to go out of town for this. This meeting or for this, that, and the other. Next thing you know, they getting with somebody on a business trip. So they seeing that as a vacation to kind of get away and do, you know, whatever they have been romanticizing in their heads to do. I'm going to read this last one. There's plenty more, but I'm going to read this last one. It says the average length of an affair is 2 years. That means that when they're with their coworker, or you know, the average length, or if they whoever they're with, lasts for 2 years. So from 2011 to 2013, that's 24 months. That's 2 Christmases. That's 2 Thanksgivings. That's 2 birthdays. 2 Valentines. So when I say 2, that means that they are participating in these holidays with probably the person they're cheating with and the person they with. So it's kind of a double thing. If they're getting roses on Valentine's, they got about 2 sets of roses. Or if they, if they on a birthday with the person that they're with, now they got to supply birthday gifts for 2 people. So it could be costly, too, to be in that situation, to have that type of thing going on. But this is serious. This is real serious. And what I want to do, Brother Dennis, I want to go to commercial again. And when we come back, I want to give a quick – I'm cutting down my commentary, man. I want to do a quick 5 minutes. I got to give biblical support to what we're talking about in terms of by way of helping us gain some understanding and prayerfully getting some information from it as a source of help in a time of trouble. And that's why I do the commentary, is because I believe that the answers to a lot of our problems, if we're willing to submit to teaching, can be found in the Bible. You don't have to call psychics. We don't have to call, you know, this, that, and the other. We can go right to the Bible and find answers to a lot of things that we deal with on a daily basis. And so we're going to go to the Bible. And for those who may not believe in the Bible or believe that, you know, the Bible has answers or whatever the belief is, you know, I just submit to you, just bear with us, and you will be allowed to call in. But we believe in the Bible, and so this is the information that we're going to give out relationship hour tonight. So, Brother Dennis, if you can, you know, get me a couple of commercials up, and then when I come back, we'll do about, you know, 5 minutes of commentary, and then we'll go straight to the calls.
Absolutely.
The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com until now. By using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldOne.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com.
One-time home repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
To the Dennis Live Network, featuring our superstar roster. Every Wednesday at 7:30 p.m., you got the conversation with Case, waking our urban people up. Followed by every Thursdays at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time with the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo discussing real life matters and ministry and relationships. Then you have Hip Hop Fridays interviewing and playing the hottest pure talent from all over the world at 7:30 p.m. Central Standard Time. And every Saturday at 4 p.m. Central Standard Time, you are tuned in with the Dennis Live Show. That is a general-based topic show interacting with the people. www.westernworld1.com.
All right. We're back. This is the Relationship Hour with Pastor Mo and Brother Dennis and our panel. Good panel. I'm excited about having a good, solid panel every week. And we look to add to that. We're going to have one other person that we're adding to the panel for tonight. But for the commentary, we're going to look at the book of John. The book of John, we're looking at chapter 8. And we're looking at verses 1 through 11. Very familiar passage. This passage deals with the religious leaders of Jesus' day. Because of the popularity that Jesus was gaining, constantly tried to find ways to get him to look bad in front of his followers, or to get him to go against the law so they can arrest him and have reason to arrest him so they can lock him up and find a way to bring him to his death. And so they did this while he was doing ministry. And so right here in John chapter 8, we see Jesus at the temple, and these same Pharisees and Sadducees and scribes who were afraid that what Jesus was doing was taken away from what they had taught the people, or the control that they had on the people. Jesus was freeing the minds of the people. He was giving them the purest truth. And so whenever that's being preached, people are drawn to that. People not only were interested in his miracles and his healing power, but they were interested in his teachings. And that also represented power. And so here he is on this day at the temple. He is teaching. People are crowded around to hear the master and to gain wisdom and knowledge and understanding. And so on this day, the Pharisees and the Sadducees figured that we can get them if we can find an issue to make him take a side on the issue that will take away his credibility with the people or have him break the law so we can arrest him. Either way, we'll win. So they decided to get or find a woman or a couple that were engaged in an unlawful act. And whenever you're engaged in adultery, that was a stiff penalty. In fact, you could be stoned to death for adultery. And so they figured, okay, well, we got this woman who has been caught in the very act of adultery. And they brought this woman before Jesus as he was teaching. And when they brought the woman before Jesus when he was teaching, they asked him, and this is in, again, John chapter 8, they asked him, the law of Moses commands us to stone this woman. And they wanted Jesus to either say, yeah, stone her, or they wanted Jesus to say, free her. If he said, free her, then that's going against the law. He's breaking the law. If he said, stone her, that's going against the compassion that he was teaching. And so to them, they thought they had the perfect wedge issue. They thought they had the perfect issue to get him caught up, if you will, in this situation. But there's some things about this particular passage that I want to bring out. And I first want to say that we have to, with issues of infidelity, those that may not have been in this situation or have experienced this, we have to not judge. And when I say that, the Bible says that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And so we have, none of us have a right to sit in a seat of finger pointing like it's them. When we all have sinned. Sin is sin. There's no greater sin. There's no lesser sin. Sin is sin. And so we want to make sure that because this issue may have taken place in somebody's relationship or may be in it right now, that we as people of God don't sit back and point the finger or hold a stone in our hand as if we're justified. And so the first point I want to bring out about this particular story, anybody who knows the story knows that Jesus told the people who brought this woman, who wanted to stone her, or wanted Jesus to give the command to stone her, Jesus turned to them and said, you know, listen, whoever has not sinned, let them be the one to cast the first stone. And people looked around and you know, Jesus gave him a minute to reflect on it, and the Bible says nobody threw a stone. In actuality, they all left. And so the first point I want to bring out of this is we got to have compassion when these type of behaviors take place in a relationship, because it's not we want to think it's a fleshly thing. We want to think, okay, well, he saw her or she saw him, and because of the flesh and da-da-da. But in essence, whenever something is done to destroy what God has built, if I got somebody and God has put his hand on it, then anything that comes in the midst of that, it now becomes a spiritual warfare. And so the enemy seeks to separate God's people on every level, not just in relationships, but if you got something going on in a community, you're trying to do a community outreach, or you know, you starting up a community-based business or whatever, and it's you and somebody else, or you and two or three people, the enemy will come in the midst of that to make it appear that you can't work together. And because you can't work together, then you throw up your hands, and the people that are hurt are the people that need that particular service that you could provide. But simply because we allow that spiritual warfare, we thinking that, oh, I can't work with that person, they got an attitude, or and we don't know that the enemy working all of that, we tend to fall into those temptations and those traps. And so let us not stand on the side of holding the stone. We have to have compassion. If you haven't, or if we haven't gone through this, let's thank God that we haven't. And pray to God that He give us strength not to go into it. And if we have been a part of it, then we can pray to God to forgive us. And that's the second point I want to bring out. Jesus, after nobody could throw a stone at this woman, they all left. Jesus asked the woman, "Where are your accusers?" She said, "None are here." And he says, "Neither do I accuse you." And he tells the lady who had been caught in the very act of adultery in verse 11, after he asked her in verse 10, she said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." So the woman who was caught in adultery brought before Jesus, the people was ready to kill two birds with one stone, but the way Jesus responded, neither broke Moses' law or shied away from compassion that he was teaching the people, but he accomplished the mission that he was here to do. He was teaching people, so people was watching this. People was interested in seeing how he was going to handle this situation, and it was such a marvelous way. It was such a mind-boggling way in which he handled this, where he took the aim off of her and put it back on ourselves, is what we should do in our relationships anyway. And that's the third point. The third point is we need to, in our relationships, maybe take our eyes always off the other person, and we need to focus more on ourselves to see how can we better a situation, or what did we do to hinder the situation, or what did we do to bring the relationship down a couple of notches, or what could we do to bring the relationship up a couple of notches. You would never win a tug of war when everybody's right. And so we have to take away the rope of a tug of war, and we have to look at ourselves. And so Jesus got the people to look at themselves. He said, let the first one who ain't never sinned throw the first stone, and couldn't nobody throw a pebble, not alone a rock. And he told that woman, I don't condemn you. Sin no more. I don't condemn you. Sin no more. So if Jesus don't condemn, let us not put ourselves in his seat, but let us have compassion. We know it's a wrong act. That's why he told her to sin no more. We know it's not something we should participate in. But this is why we have to have something stronger than ourselves to fight against that, because he knows what we like, and it's evident by those percentages. People said if they would not get caught, if they could get away with it, 74% of men say they'll do it without a shadow of a doubt, and 68% of women say they'll do it without a shadow of a doubt if they couldn't get caught. Well, just imagine not a natural eye, but a supernatural eye looking at our behaviors. And so we're always being watched. And so we should, we go make mistakes. But this is why prayer is so important, because power comes from prayer, and we should seek prayer in our times of weariness and in our times of trouble. And so that's the commentary for tonight. I'm going to play a song. We ended it early because I want to get to the phones. We got a good conversation for tonight. I'm going to play a quick song, and then we're going to come back with our panel, and I'm going to play a clip for the panel, and then we're going to continue the conversation. And here's another song from Tamela Mann's CD, and it's simply called Take Me to the King.
Take me to the King. Options
I'm trying to pray, but where are you? I'm all churched out, hurt and abused. I can't face what's left to do.
Come on.
Truth is I'm weak, no strength to fight, no tears to cry. Even if I try, but still my soul refuses to die. Mm-hmm. One touch will change my life. Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart.
The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com until now. By using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldOne.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com.
One-time home repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. It's 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.
Conversation this far, but we got some people with us, and I want to bring in one by one. We got Brother Gerard. I got your mic on. Brother Gerard, you with us?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I got Sister Trina. I got your mic on. Sister Trina, you with us?
Yes, I am.
Okay. I got Brother LB. You just heard his commercial. Brother LB, I got your mic on. You with us?
Yes.
Okay, and I got one special person that I'm going to bring on, and all of the panel are special to me, and y'all know that, but I've been trying to get this young lady to get on the show. She is full of wisdom and knowledge, and people, including myself, look forward to her encouraging words that she shares with us on a regular basis. So I'm going to bring her in right now. Sister Drina, I got your mic on. Are you with us right now?
I am here, and that was, thank you for that great introduction.
Praise God. Praise God. You know I've been trying to get people to hear your voice. And just so you know, as the last time we checked, we had over 14,000 followers for the Western World Network and Woo-hoo! Western World One Network. So you are being heard by a lot of people.
Okay.
And I thank God that you decided to join us tonight. But for the panel, listen, I'm going to play this clip. And when I come out of this clip, and I want to forewarn everybody right now, there are a couple of cursing words in this clip. And so, Lord, forgive me. But I want to play this clip, and I want to play it in its entirety. And after I play it, we're going to come back. We're not going to take a commercial, and I'm going to go right into the conversation on tonight. So let me play the clip for the panel.
Moves you make. You ain't got no...
Chris, what the hell?
Hey, baby. Listen, let me explain, okay? I took all the money out of the bank.
I know that.
I opened up a business account, and we're going to go into business for ourselves.
You did what?
Ben and I got fired today. I just think that's a sign that we should just go into business on our own.
That is my money.
Yeah, but we're in this together, though, right, baby?
No, I'm in this. You go get my money back.
It's a little bit too late. The majority of the deposits already went out this morning.
You bastard! You just take my money without asking me?
No, baby, this is going to work out for the best. Trust me on that, okay?
You know what? I am getting so sick of you. I am so tired of supporting this whole family by myself. I thought a man was supposed to help a woman. Hmm? You are so weak. Both of you.
Today ain't the day, and I ain't the one. You understand me?
All right. What you gonna do with your broke ass?
Oh, that's your broke ass trick.
You go to hell.
Look, man, this is my wife you're talking to.
I don't mean nothing to her, Chris.
What is that supposed to mean?
Yeah, Ben. What is that supposed to mean?
She better get her.
Okay.
She better get her, baby. She better go ahead.
That's what I thought.
Andrea, just drop it.
You stole my money.
Baby.
You and this loser will never be William Cartwright.
From one. Ain't nobody trying to be no damn William Cartwright, you understand me? But you can't see that because you're so busy on his lap every night, right? Oh, come on, man. What are you talking about?
Chris, man, come on. Everybody know, man. They know they talking about you behind your back at the site. Everybody know.
Baby, what is he talking about?
Come over here for a second, honey. For a second. What is he talking
okay,
about?
Fine,
you start talking to me
fine.
Right now.
All that money you stole from me was given to me by William.
Why would he give you so much money?
Because he's my man, Chris.
Whole thing verbatim, but in lining up that is what I wanted to say about infidelity, is that it's about people being selfish. I know earlier Dennis said, had mentioned about it, people being unhappy in relationships, but even being unhappy, people can always leave. The whole part about choosing to cheat is about being selfish, about being greedy, if you will. A lot of times people just want what they want, and it's about them. It's not even about the other person that they're with, because they can still be, they can be in a relationship and be happy. Like you said, you can see somebody at a bus stop one day and, you know, start fantasizing about them for the whole day and then see them again. And now you're so intrigued that you introduce yourself and, you know, keep going from there step by step. And it may have nothing to do with your wife. It's all about you and your greed and your lust and what you want. So I think a lot of times, even though people, sometimes there is that thought that people are unhappy, and in some cases there it is the case, but of course there are always exceptions to the rule. But my personal opinion is that it's about being greedy and about being selfish.
Okay, okay. I just asked that if y'all, you know, I know people are listening to the show on the internet and talking to, if you could kind of mute your phone or take it off the, you know, turn down the volume on the internet show, because it kind of gives the feedback. Okay, and whoever else.
That was good. That was good, Brother Davis. Sister Trina, you want to jump in on that?
I sure do. I believe that infidelity starts because it's something wrong in that marriage. And I believe if the couple is happy, then there would not be no infidelity. So I wonder, where does it start? What starts the man or the woman to be unhappy? That's when infidelity comes in, when there's lack of communication. And because there's lack of communication, then there's someone that comes in, and I'm going to just keep it real, that comes from the devil, comes in. Because the devil knows exactly what we want and what we're going through and how we feel. So if we're feeling a lack, if we're feeling that our husband or our wife's not paying us any attention, then of course he's going to send that fine brother with all the nice muscles, or for a man, that fine sister that got this and got that, to say, okay, I'll listen to you. And so once we're sitting there listening to, once they're sitting there listening to us, then we feel like, okay, this person really cares. This person really cares about my feelings and how I feel. And then that's when the infidelity starts, and that's when the cheating starts. So I believe if the husband and wife would start with communication, then infidelity wouldn't exist. That's just my opinion.
Now, Brother Gerard, when it comes to infidelity, when it comes to is it selfishness? Is it communication problems? What do you think? What's your view on this whole topic?
Well, I think it's all of it. It can be selfish. It can be a situation where a person can be unhappy from the beginning and lack of communication. It can be verbal and physical abuse. It can be it can be a lack of higher power of worship. One can be God fearing and one cannot be. It can be an array of things. But if one don't communicate with the other, what each other want, some wants and some needs need to be met when a partnership is put together. And I think sometimes males might put, you know, intimacy higher than a woman, and the woman might have more on the financial and the home and other things a little bit higher than actually the intimacy. It all depends on a relationship, but if certain needs are not met and it become a consistent pattern, then you can, it starts off with a thought, like you said. And then when a thought come about and they mention it to each other, and then it becomes a reaction. You have to, the thought comes into getting on the internet, and then you can talk from the internet to meeting somebody at work. And then once that seed is planted, once seeing this plant the seed, it grows into full blown sin, you know. And once sin is grown into you, it lays eggs. Then after it lays eggs, there are certain things that will trigger a good conversation, meeting somebody that you've been thinking about all day, or an intimate hug or a high at church. It can trigger. It trigger that lust demon, you know, and make that person want that person more. Then once it's full blown, it's death, because God don't like His servants to be drunk and can't sober up from the way He wants you to be righteous. So if you can't come out of that drunken spirit of always wanting to be selfish and get yours and not fix the gift of marriage, or that, because that's a gift from God, marriage. And the devil, as soon as you say I do, he coming after you, you know.
Oh yes.
So once, if you worship marriage, then God will bless you. If you try to destroy it, then you know He's gonna curse you, because that's something God created, which is marriage. So it can go a different kind of things, because in different kind of ways. You can't just say it comes from one way, because it's, sin can get in any other kind of way. So it can come from all array of kind of things, but you just have to really pay attention, and God got to be in the middle of it.
Boy, so now, Brother Dennis, Brother Gerard says it could come from a variety of ways. It can come like rain. When you try to dodge it, all you're doing is running to another wet spot. And so let's get back to the 74 and 68 percentile. Is that 74 and 68 a result of all of those issues, or is that 74 or 68% more leaning towards selfishness, like Sister Drina said?
Man, all I can say is this, Pastor. How many percent is the women?
The women was 68%.
All I'm gonna say is this. We've been married for 5 years, and you gonna talk to me like that? Your son.
Oh, come on, Brother Dennis.
Hey, man. He said he got some more money, and you get your boxes. I'm fighting the women because they're all making too much money. No. Hey, man. I can contest with nothing that everybody has said. Everybody said it with the chief aim and their own uniqueness, and it's still lined up with God. You know what I'm saying? So that right there is a no touchy zone. I can't even speak on that, you know. But I don't think numbers lie, so I'm gonna leave it up to the men. They say we 74%. You said?
Mm-hmm.
Percent. Okay, so maybe it was a woman that made those percentages. I don't know.
Wow.
But I will say, either way it go, a sin is a sin, period. So I agree with all of them.
Now, Sister Drina.
Yes, sir?
Is because we know this. We know that when we talk about selfishness, Brother Gerard brought up a good point. He said that men tend to value or might look at intimacy as high on the priority list. But women, however, might be more on the, the emotional side, dealing with finances, dealing with, the bills and stuff like that. And they may, women may hold that more of a priority over intimacy than men. And I want to get a, I want to just get a woman's feedback on where is the what is the priority? Is because if the priority or if the man has a priority that intimacy is like top on the list, and women have it like fifth, sixth, seventh, or eighth, does this is that scale kind of off? And because the scale is off, does that open a door to that intimate hug? Does that open a door to industry? It used to be a $1 billion industry, but now they said it's more like a $3 billion industry, which is the porn industry. Does that open the door to finding outlets or finding other avenues to get to that priority inside of a person that has put intimacy at the top? So answer the first question. Is the intimacy for the man up there but is lower for the woman?
Yes, and I think that's because women get approached more than men for the most part. And so women can go out with a scarf on our head, I mean, just look at any kind of way, and men will approach us. So the whole intimacy, the whole sexual aspect of it is not that high for us because we have so many options for that. You know what I mean? When we're not even looking for it, it's already present. So the whole thing is we're looking for something.
Ooh.
And so that's why I would say it's more of a priority or it's higher up on the level for men than it is for women.
Mm. So the woman, because it's so plentiful, so it's like going to a pizza buffet. If you had a pizza buffet and you've been eating pizza all day long, for dinner you don't want pizza. You want to switch it up. You want something else. So to where a man, we might can, eat pizza for 3 days straight. You saying women want to switch it up a little bit. So what is the priority for the women, or what is a high priority? Let me ask you that. What is a high priority? Or give me the top five, if you will. Give me the top five priorities for a woman.
Attention would be number one.
Mm.
I think women long for, like, genuine attention, not that you walking down the street and somebody whistling at you, but that I can call and he's actually listening to me. And even if he isn't listening, even if he's faking like he's listening, the fact that he appears to be is enough for a woman. I mean, a lot of times with women, you see, like, men say, oh, don't talk to nobody else about our relationship. Don't talk to another man about our relationship because that's opening a door for another man.
Now, no, don't stop. Do not stop. And I'm writing this down. Go ahead.
So I would say the attention is one. Is number one. You said five. Attention, finances, because, you know, a lot of times you have men that will spend money. You know, they have it, or, you know, a lot of men put on shows for women anyway. I mean, they buy the fancy cars, they wear the jewelry, they go out to the club and buy bottles and do all of that, but really who they doing it for? The attention of the woman. So when the woman comes along, that's what she's looking for. She's looking for him to spend his money on her.
Mm, okay.
Write that down. Okay, go ahead.
I mean, you know what? Honestly, I really can't give you anything else other than those two. I mean,
what I was trying to do is see where does intimacy come in. So maybe let me ask.
I would say it's number five. I would say it would be between
wow.
4 and 5. Honestly, I just don't think it's that high. Again, because women. It's so they have so many options for it. I don't even think it's that high, because a woman could be in a relationship with one man and she's only sleeping with that man, but she's cheating because she's dating somebody else. Because here it is, he's spending the money, or here it is, he's giving her the attention that she doesn't get when she's at home.
Mm.
So,
wow.
I would say it would be between 4 and 5, but the attention and then the financial support would be 1 and 2. I'm not sure what else to stick in between those.
How you spell
wow.
attention
well,
again? That's amazing.
Well,
praise God. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Sister Trader.
Well, you're right with the finances and attention, but I also think that if the woman gets respect,
ooh.
and if she gets love, and if she has that trust, and in a marriage, let's just keep it real, women like foreplay. And if she can get all of that out of that one man, I don't believe that she would look nowhere else. I wouldn't even pay attention to another brother if I was getting all that out of one relationship from that man. So I believe that when the relationship breaks and the couple start cheating on each other, it is like Brother Gerard said, that spirit of love. If all the devil needs is one little door, that's all he needs is one door. And once he gets that door, it's going to spread like wildflower. So if he asks his wife or whatever to have sex with him and she says, I don't feel like it. And so if she keeps saying she don't feel like it, or if he keeps lying to her and she can't trust him, then that's just that one door. And so once that one door is open, then boom, there's infidelity.
Mm. I want to go back to
that movie. I'm sorry, Pastor Mo. That clip that you just played,
mm-hmm.
that was the whole thing. And sister, and I'm definitely not trying to go against anything that you're saying. You know, we all have our opinions here.
Yeah.
But I wanted to touch base back to that movie. Is that lady had that loving husband. He was there. He was picking up the son, cooking and cleaning. But because the other man has so much money, and was so willing to spend it. I mean, what did she have in her bank account? $200,000+ that he had just given her. Like, just given her.
Now, that's
who she went with, and she was willing to leave her husband. I mean, and it is. The devil opened that door because he knew that this woman was greedy. She was selfish. So here it is. You put a man in front of her that can give her $200,000+, just give it to her. Plus any other thing that she did, because I think she had like a company car and just ridiculous stuff. That was all the devil needed to interrupt her marriage.
Right.
That was the one thing she was lacking, was the finances. And her husband couldn't give her what that other man could. So that's why she drifted that way. She wanted a lifestyle that her husband couldn't afford to give her. And so her attention went towards the rich guy. Because
yeah.
he could afford to give her that relationship, and then that's when the door opened. And
so now, let me ask this to Brother Gerard, then Brother LB. He hasn't had a chance to get on here, but Brother Gerard, is it, we heard the list, and is it possible that, I gotta be careful. I got two strong sisters on the line tonight. But is it possible that if the list is attention, And if the list is financial support, and then intimacy is down the line, and then you got foreplay, all which is kind of a thought out process. It's kind of a, you know, taking it slow, you know, kind of laying the crumbs before we get to the meal, you know, laying the crumbs before we get to the big deal. Are men made, are most men or men that you have been around in your circle, do we have the capability of being patient like that? Where if we're, you know, if it's one of them days and, you know, your body is telling you, you're looking at your queen and you say, my God, I, you know, now, you know, spontaneity and, you know, and let me just say for people that is listening, none of this is out of pocket, and I think that's where we go wrong. We go wrong where we think it's wrong to talk about intimacy. Intimacy is in the Bible. And so it's justifiable to talk about intimacy in a creative way, in a supportive way, in a loving way. So we're not doing anything out of pocket. We're actually trying to help make sure we can expose the devil, that we don't make as many mistakes that we do by way of stepping out of our relationships. But back to Alessandra, can men do that? Can men kind of not be selfish? Can men fight the urge that is there, the desire that is there to take it slow and walk at a snail's pace? And kind of build the whole house before you even step on the inside, if you will. Is that possible?
And sure it is. It all depends on the circumstances. If it's to establish a relationship, then by all means, the man shouldn't have to wait on something that should be his because they're in a relationship. Now,
let me ask. So when you say men should not have to wait, what do you mean by that?
I mean, if you already with the person, you got the woman, mm-hmm. and y'all got y'all together, then right. he shouldn't be punished based on what he have or don't have. It should be a partnership where if y'all love each other and y'all together, you know, intimacy comes with the relationship. You know, you're supposed to do whatever it takes to take care and satisfy your man, and he's supposed to do whatever it takes to satisfy and uplift his queen. So if I make $14 an hour, and you be a guy who make $30 an hour, that don't make you have to say, well, let me get up with this guy because he make more money. Then your problem is just, her problem is just as worse as his is dipping out. That's cheating. No matter if you have sex with them or not, you know, when Jesus went back to the synagogue and they was trading money, that pissed him off and he was flipping tables because that ain't what it's all about. It's all about sharing. So that's a demon that make you want more than what God was letting you be ready for. He was prepping you to be able to. Worship what you got. How could he bless you with more if you can't even handle a guy who make $14 an hour?
Don't say that.
So,
well,
so the thing is behind it. If it's a non-established relationship, then by all means, he has to be patient. He has to know that woman's likes and dislikes. He got to know that woman, you know, what makes her laugh, what makes her cry. You know, he got to know if she want a cooking man or she just want an aggressive man. She looking for a protector. She looks for a God fearing man. You know, he gotta lay that foundation, letting her know that, look, I love the Lord, but baby, I love you too. You know, that's how it gotta go. But anytime things is not established, that okay, we gonna put God first, then you just pretty much building your house on sand because you're gonna hide. They're gonna treat their relationship like playing spades or playing cards. Nobody's gonna show their trump hand in the relationship. The first 2 years or the two months based on how long it lasts. It's going to be commercial, and you're going to be dating a commercial, and you're not going to know the truth about that person.
What? Mm-hmm. Brother LB.
Yes, sir.
Listen, I want to bring you in. We're talking about infidelity. We're talking about, and just to give you a good foundation, the definition of infidelity is when there is a unfaithfulness by way of sexual stepping out, if you will. You know, you got somebody, but you stepping out on your relationship with that person sexually to get with somebody else. And so, meaning that loyalty is not there, trust is not, you know, there. And so you kind of heard a little bit of what's been going on. What do you want to offer to the conversation? Do you believe that, because my initial point was, is it possible for a man, if we're passionate beings and we love being intimate, and if our woman got a list of stuff we have to do to set the mood or to make it, you know, what do you think about that?
I say this. First and foremost, we live in a society where we're looking for instant gratification. And it falls back even in our relationships. We want instant gratification. We are not taught patience. And that is, you know, one of the things that, you know, you have to understand that you can pick up your phone and be right on the internet. It was at one point in time when, but for you to be on the internet, you had to go home. In order for you to have a conversation with XYZ people, you had to go home. It was not you had to learn to be patient. There was no such thing as an answering machine. You had to wait for somebody to call you back. So we are adopting these same customs in our relationships every day because we want instant gratification. Now with the clip, with the money, with the a movie clip that you played, she wanted instant gratification. See, and I hate to throw the sisters on the bus, but a lot of women are taught to live in a fantasy world. And they're not taught about the basics of construction, building together. There was a couple that I remember, and I had her doing a lot of my paperwork for me, typing them contracts. And she told me, you know, her and her men are, you know, waiting for, you know, to be financially better before they get married. I said, well, shoot, you'll never be financially better then. She says, well, why do you say that? I said, because there will always be another reason why you shouldn't get married right now. Because I don't have enough of this. I don't have enough of that. I say, we're not taught. Men and women are not taught to build together. That if you do your part and I do my part and we put these two parts together, we'll have a whole. I was telling Dennis before he started the radio show, it was a young lady who told me she wanted to go to the movies, and I had turned around and I said, well, you know, I don't have any money like that. She says, well, if you pay for the food, I buy the ticket. I said, okay, that'll work for me. So I'm out of $20-something. She's out of $20-something. We both got what we wanted because why? We both were building towards something that we can both enjoy together. Now, a lot of people don't look at it in that mannerism because we want instant gratification. We want, I think in today's society also, not to take over the whole show, I'm just saying, I think in today's society, we don't actually realize we have taken money and said that is what providing is. It's if I could provide just money, not understanding there are so many other elements to providing, just economic. Because if you don't know what to do with that economics, you're still not providing. If you don't know how to spend your money, you're still not providing. Because there's still going to be an emotional detachment. Because if money solved everybody's problems, why are the rich out there killing themselves? Why are they, you know, why are they always looking for more? Money, if you got $100,000 a day and they're going to solve a lot of your problems, why are you trying to look for
$200,000? And you said something, Brother LB and Brother Dennis and Sister Drina. Brother LB says that women, when it comes to the fantasy world, give into the fantasy world, meaning that fantasy is something that is not reality. We went to see The Oz last night, and the movie The Oz, it's actually a decent movie, but it was a fantasy world. It wasn't a world that actually existed. It was a world that was made up. And so is it fantasy? I'm going to start with you, Brother Dennis and Sister Drina. Is it fantasy to believe that, I'm going to run up on that person that's going to know exactly what I like, how I like it, what when I want it, and be able to satisfy every checkpoint on the list before, if the top priority is intimacy on the man's mind, and if there's a fantasy world that exists on the woman's mind, is that possible to work, Brother Dennis and Sister Dream?
I feel like this. Let me write this down. She got attention. Intimacy is the last. You know, so it's trying to get. Do you spell it foreplay or foreplay? then you got Brother Gerard with what he said. Then you got what LB said. I think you can flip them. You can mix the list up. If that person wants that person, they're going to do whatever it takes. You got to put the representative out there first. So he's going to be the dream man anyway. So you're going to throw that representative out there first to get whatever he wants. So, yeah, I think you can switch up the list if that's what you're asking. Absolutely. Yeah, if you really want that person, yeah.
You, basically what you're saying, you can fake it to make it. So you're saying, even though in your own desire, you're saying, okay, on top of my list, I got this beautiful woman. I'm seeing her getting up in the morning. I'm seeing her put on whatever, she has to wear for underwear. I'm seeing the nice clothes and smelling the nice perfume and the way the hair gets done, and all the essences of a woman, that touches a man, a true man, in his heart, that you just like, wow, and you just want to consume that, or you want to participate, or but first, before you get to all that, you got to go through this. So I guess you saying that, yeah, you're going to put forward that representation. So you're saying that you're going to fake it to make it until you get what you want. Is that what you're saying?
Oh, absolutely. I will fake it. I will be a representative. I will play this back and listen to what you said. I'm going to write that down, too. And
right.
Absolutely. I might sound harsh about it, but, I mean, I think that's what everybody do. They try to be somebody that they pretty much not at times.
Wow.
Until it's like, one day that button might get pushed, so I think that's the way I'm kind of putting it, I mean, it might sound harsh, but I mean, that's what I'm speaking on a man, the 75%, 74%, speaking on 74% of us, that's what we do, we try to be the best thing cracking, and then next thing you know, when it starts to cracking,
And hey, you know, that's part of the fantasy. That, wait, I want to get Drina. I want to get LB. Let me get Drina in right quick. Cause, go ahead, Sister Drina. Then LB, you come after Sister Drina. Go ahead.
Let me be sure I understood what you said. You're asking if we can possibly get everything we're looking for in one person?
Well, it was more toward if that's not us. So, for example, when you said your list, if that's not me, should I have to be somebody else to fit what your criteria is to be faithful or to be with one man? Do I have to change who I am to meet your standard to fit what you want, to make sure, you know, I try to do what I can, that way you won't go out and get with somebody else?
Well, since you're asking me this now,
mm-hmm.
I'm going to say no. But had you asked me this some years ago, then I would have to say yeah. Like, now I've grown and I understand, like, I'm not going to find that everything in one person. And like Brother Gerard said, or no, LB said, like, you have to grow together. Like, you have to combine what you have and make it into what you want. But years ago, there would be no way. Like, you better fake it, or, you know, you're going to have to do something, because I'm not gonna be faithful to you. You may be 65% of what I'm looking for, and that's not gonna be enough.
Mm.
Therefore, I would still be with you, but 9 times out of 10, I'm gonna be probably talking to somebody else.
Mm.
But again, like I said, because you're asking me now, I've matured, I've grown, I look at things differently. But before, yeah. Yeah, that would never work for me.
LB?
Yeah.
LB?
Yeah.
Before you say something, we are on a gospel radio show. You must know the truth. Oh, no, go ahead, man.
Before I say what?
I said we are on a gospel
Hello?
Radio show. LB.
Okay. No, I understand. We're on a gospel radio show. Listen.
Oh, I said you're supposed to tell the truth. Tell the truth.
I'm going to tell the truth, and this is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing
I'm messing
but the
with
truth.
You, brother.
Help me, God.
I'm messing with you.
Hey, listen. The problem with that is this, and Trina, I hate to say this to a degree, but it still sounds like you living in the fantasy world. And the reason why I say that is this. You are who you are in that world. You can't be any more or any less. I think when I heard the clip, Dick Gregory said, if you was a fool at 9, you're going to be a fool at 90. And meaning that you may pick up other little small attributes, you know, here and there. You may educate yourself a little bit, but certain characteristics are you. And unfortunately, when we meet a lot of people, we're not happy with ourselves and the progress that we have made within our lives.
Mm.
So by us not being happy with ourselves and knowing who we truly are, we bring our representatives to the table.
Mm.
So the representatives play out the person who you want to be. But just like anything else in this world, a nice fresh pair of rims on your new car, eventually, as it keeps going through the mud, salt, snow, rain, it's going to get dull. No matter how much you try to polish it up, you still see a little bit erosion here and there, here and there. Then you get down to the real of what this rim really is. It looks all right. So at the end of the day, women and men bring their representative to the table. So fair till you make it, you're only going to get so far. The rim going to break down on you.
That's right.
Because you didn't know how to take care of it. You didn't know who you were. You didn't know what to do with it. I see it. I see it 1,000 times. I've done it myself when I was younger. when they had the cell phone, that for the brick cell phone, I would sit in the back of the bus and act like I got a cell phone, press the ring button so it can ring. Everybody on the bus look back. I'm up here acting like I'm talking to someone. But somebody who's real gonna say, can I use your phone? I need to get an emergency phone call. Now the cover blown. Now you exposed for who you are. Mm. Instead of being who you were in the first place.
Right.
You searching for a lot of people search for fantasy.
Let me jump
and
in
not
right
reality.
Here. Let me jump in.
Go ahead.
Wait, no. Hey, Pastor, wait, Pastor.
Yeah.
Pastor, I want to just say this to LB. LB,
yes, sir.
I said tell the truth. I said tell the truth, not the whole truth. What is wrong with you, man?
Look, I want to get Brother Gerard and Sister Trina. Sister Trina, what do you think about that?
Well, at least this brother keeping it real. Buster's all through it. He is keeping it 100% real, and I like that. And it's good that we have brothers out here like that, that keep it real instead of just saying what they think a person want to hear. No, we done with that. We want to keep, this is keep it real. This is the year to keep it real. And this brother has been keeping it real, and I appreciate that. Now, with the fantasy thing, I believe all women don't live in fantasy, just like all men are not dogs. Now, the fantasy thing starts with, in my opinion, lust. Now, if you're lusting after something and you want, like if a person is watching soap opera, that is the most fakest thing as possible. But a person that's looking at it, not looking at it like that. They seeing the man come in, swoop the woman up off her feet and kiss her. And she said, oh, wow, I would love to have somebody like that. And so
wow.
She get with this guy and you know, and she get with this guy with this lust in her mind. And once he's not giving her all those things, or with the man as well, you know, vice versa, once they're not getting these things that they done set up and fed their flesh with, then that's when they turn a corner and go looking for somebody else. Now, with me, the best thing to do is, in my opinion, and all people probably won't agree to this, but the best thing to do is just wait on the Lord, because he's going to give you that right person to be with, just like he gave Adam Eve. He gave him the right bone, the right rib. And so, and if you're not willing to just wait on the Lord, you're gonna get what you get. I always say, if you're not willing to wait on the Lord, you're going to get the devil's trash. And so you're going to get what you get if you're not willing to be patient, because I knew this guy, and he was my old school sweetheart. And I really was in love with him. And he asked me to marry him several times, and I told him no, because it was something
that
I saw.
Why you tell me no?
It was something in him that I did, that it was something in him that I saw that I did not like. And thank God I told him no, because years later he came back in town after he had moved out of town. He came back in town and saw me, and was still trying to get with me while he was married. And so, being that I'm the one woman that I am, I told him absolutely not, because I believe what God says. You reap what you sow. And so I know that when I get married, I don't want my husband to do me like that, so I'm not going to do his wife like that. And so, and to make it worse, his wife was right down the street while he was at my house, and I was like, absolutely not. And I told him the truth. I said, I'm glad I didn't marry you, because you are a cheater, and I would not have wanted you to treat me like that. And so you give what you get. And so I feel like if I'm not going to throw that out there in the atmosphere, if I'm not going to throw that, I'm not going to get that back. And so you just got to start with, Go ahead, Pastor Mo.
No, I was going to say, Brother Gerard, and we got about 15 minutes. The show has been going real good. Brother Gerard, I want to bring you back in here. It's been some powerful stuff being said. Sister Drina said that she had to mature, and now that she's mature, her eyes and her wants and her criteria is a little different with maturity. And that was powerful, because I think a lot of times we still want to act like we're, you know, 17, 18, 19, when you had that first girlfriend or that first boyfriend and the feeling you got with that. And if you married, you probably haven't had that feeling. But when you cheat, you kind of relive that excitement, I guess. And so when you mature, you don't think like that no more. And then Brother LB say we run into problems because people not presenting their real selves to people. They present a fantasy to somebody. And then when their real self show up, like, wow, I didn't know you was like that. I don't want to be with that. I want to be with the fantasy. So give me some commentary. Give me some feedback on what you think about everything that's just been said.
Okay, first of all, praise the Lord for your sister Trina, and praise God for you, Brother LB. I love the commentary, things that you said, and that's very true. You earlier in the episode that Pastor Mo, you mentioned that, was it fantasy or was it reality based on what people wanted? And, yeah, people want the fantasy, unfortunately. Sadly, that they just want the fantasy, but when it comes down to it, when the tears come out at church, when the tears come out in your mama house or your uncle house, they think about that one they let go the way that was trying to give them the real them. But they wanted the one with all the money, and she didn't realize she just got bought. And the guy wanted the girl with the big butt and the nice sex, and didn't realize she was just doing everybody the same way. You know, so you lose because you get what you ask for, you know. You put yourself out there and you get the commercial. And that's what this all is about. So unfortunately that if you keep it real with yourself, if a sister be really true with herself and you really realize who you are, and that's what I always say, that male or female, you fall in love with yourself. You know, ask God to present that to you. And once you get yourself together and you fall in love with you and you get your hair and start taking care of your body and getting your career in order, you ain't got to look for no man. The man's going to be looking for you. You know, you're going to be fighting them off. Trust me, you ain't going to be able to go to the grocery store because you're going to be so full of joy. You can if you got them, that's great. If you don't got them, guess what? If you're getting closer to the Lord anyway, you're getting blessed, and you're blessing others. This relationship thing is a giving thing. It's not a take thing. Love is shown. It ain't told. And that's what the problem is. People, I love you. I do this. And you believe the hype. You believe the commercial. And it still ain't never got nothing. All you got was a bunch of promises and, you know, and withdrawals. That's it. And then before you know it, you say, man, I spent this guy 8 years. 8 years, and he not one time prayed with me.
Wow.
He was with me 8 years and not one time went to church with me. I ain't never seen him say, thank you, Lord. I never see him call the Holy Ghost. I never see him read the Bible. You know, that's huge. A lot of people don't realize how important that is to have God in the middle of it, you know. But, you know, if even if you take that part of it, you know, because that's the obvious. Let's do the LB and keep it real. If you meet a sister and she tell you this, this, and that, and the first thing come out of her mouth is like, okay, where you work? A guy ain't trying to hear that. That's a turn off to him. It's like it's a turn off for you to for a man to say, what's up with the sex? You know, he ain't trying to hear that. So the first thing y'all need to do is try to get to know each other, find out can y'all be friends. Can y'all coexist as friends? And if y'all can laugh and talk and have mutual conversations and go skating and talk about any and everything other than sex, or they body parts, then you got something. You might have a relationship. But if you can't do that, and all you can see is her chest or her backside or how he fit in his jeans or how many black cards he got, then when his money run out, you run out.
Well, I started my relationship, Gerard.
Yes, sir.
Gerard, I start my relationships out, and I tell a woman, listen here, I got a job and all my teeth. Now, can we get something going? Because I got a job and all my teeth. Is that qualification in order for me to get a good woman?
To get a good woman?
A good woman, a job and all my teeth.
Unfortunately, that's not enough. you're gonna get a woman with a lot of bills, and they can cook a lot, so you can use your teeth.
Look, we are 10 minutes away from the end of the show. I wanna get Drina back in, and we're gonna get ready to close it down. But I think this has been helpful. I think everybody's really came with some real down-to-earth commentary about this issue of infidelity. What makes people step out? You know, what are some criteria that women look for? What are some criteria that men look for? You know, is it possible to be in a faithful relationship? And so, Sister Drina, you know, we got about 10 minutes here. Left in the broadcast, but I want to ask you this: in a part of the statistics that was given, it says that 68% of women said that if they would not get caught, that they would have an affair on their. You know, on the person that they're with. 68% of women said that. So that's almost 70%. So if it was 10 women in a room, 7 of those women say that, yeah, if I wouldn't get caught, that I would do it. So let me ask you, why is that number so high? Why is it that 68% of women now say that, you know, if I wouldn't get caught, I'd do it in a minute?
I'm still sticking with the same thing that I said earlier, is that it's just a matter of greed, because those women, I don't believe, were polled according to how happy or unhappy they are in their relationship. It was just posed to them the question of if they could cheat and get away with it, would they do it? And I just say it's the same thing. I say it's just people being greedy, and I think it's probably high now because people are being more honest about a lot of things. Like, so much stuff is so open and so acceptable these days that for a woman to just be up and honest now, it's like, okay, now 20 years ago, it probably wouldn't have been that high, but that doesn't mean that wouldn't be the case. You know what I'm saying? Like, they probably wouldn't have admitted it, but probably in their minds they were thinking, yeah, I would do it. But I just think that people are just so open with so much, and I think it just goes back to people, you know, their relationship with God, the whole spiritual aspect of it, because so much is going on right now. There's just so much going on in this world that people are just like, whatever. You know, they're just doing and saying and acting in any kind of way.
Wow.
And because so many people are doing it, now it's becoming acceptable. You know what I'm saying? Like, it's just so much stuff that is being accepted because so many people are doing it that now it's becoming the norm when it was not that before.
And you know what
it's being bisexual. I remember one of my friends was a stewardess, and she said that there was this guy who was clearly gay, a stewardess, but he told her, she was like, wait, you go both ways? He was like, oh, I don't consider it for me to be bisexual. I'm just greedy. Really? That's what call it now?
Wow. And so, you know what? You bring up a good point. The point that you're bringing up is because nowadays the chatterbox kind of control different relationships. For example, if you hang out with a group of girls or a group of guys, and that group engages in activities that are a hindrance to a relationship, be it they, you know, they go somewhere or whatever they're a part of, and, you know, they're inviting women or, you know, or inviting men and you know, and then these type of activities go on, then they get to talking about it. Oh, man, you remember we did this, you know, and or girl, you missed out. We did this, and or, man, you missed it. You know, so the chatterbox is a part now of spreading behaviors, and it gets people thinking like, man, you know, I missed it. And so that's that too, that communication. If it could be corrupt communication if it's not, if what's in our minds and in our hearts is corrupt, then we what comes out of our mouths will also be corrupt. And so you're right, it is acceptable because it's being communicated as being acceptable to have somebody at home, but what they call it, dipping off, or you dip off and get with somebody else. And so we live in a world that all which is against God is like mainstream now. And all that's for God, the people that are godly people, are being pushed to the side like you know, you weird because you want to live a godly life. And that's another trick of the enemy, to make you believe that to do right is wrong, but to do wrong is right. And that's the type of mentality that exists now, that it ain't not going to stop me from doing this in the church, in the church, in the church. But at the same time, all the church is doing is suggesting that there's a better way to live, which is not a worldly way. And that doesn't mean that everybody in the church got to be perfect to make that suggestion. And that's another trick of the enemy, that, you know, they telling me to do this and da-da-da-da. No, to get help should be the underlying goal. I need help. Forget what everybody else is doing. I need help. So let me get what I can get and get out and make myself a better person. And me getting better ain't contingent on somebody else. And I think we talked about that tonight, about becoming better, a better person of ourselves, and how you're going to offer you to somebody else when you presenting yourself as a 10, but on the inside you are actual 2. And then later on in the relationship, your 2-ness starts showing, and it's harder and harder to show your 10, so you jump to somebody else, or you participate in activities that is not of God. So I just thank everybody. And then we're going to give our closing remarks. So if y'all can hold on and don't drop out, just a quick closing remark. But I want to say this. There has been a lot of conversation lately about belief and belief systems. And a lot of the issues that we're dealing with today, in particular in relationships, are experiencing problems because either one person believes and one person don't believe, or neither believe, and they're trying to work it out. But I would suggest that when you're in a relationship where neither of the people that are involved in the relationship have any belief in something outside of themselves, then you, like Gerard said, you have built that relationship on sand, and not just sand, but seeking sand, because you don't believe that there's a power strong enough to hold you together when the enemy come up against you to tear you apart. And so we want to do it independently, and we want to do it without God, but God is real, and he is present. And so if we just seek him, if we draw near to him, he'll draw near to us in our relationships. And for those who say, well, I don't believe in God, or God ain't never done nothing, you know, you have those people out there that are mad at themselves, and so they're mad at everything else. They're mad at God, they're mad at their mate or whoever. I would say this. It's impossible, I don't care if you're a scientist, it's impossible to say that things don't have an origin. And when I say origin, that means a starting place. It started somewhere. And as long as we know that regardless of what it is we're talking about, that it has a starting place, it has a starting point, that means that there has to be somebody who originated that idea or that thought, or it came from somewhere. It has an origin. And if things have an origin, it has a starting place, a beginning point, that means that everything we're dealing with, from the earth, the world, the you know, anything that has a start period, it came from somewhere, it has to be an originator. And so the question becomes, who is the originator? And I believe that regardless of what books you read and what, you know, particular religion you follow, it came from somewhere. And we believe that our originator is God. We believe that he originated everything. He, whatever molecule, whatever, you know, animal that exists, whatever human being that has existed over time, it started somewhere. And as long as you know that there is a creator of something, there is an originator of everything, then you know that there's a power that exists greater than ourselves. What we do, we cook eggs. You know, we can do stuff that we can see and do with our abilities. But when we think about it, there is a supernatural being who not only created a human being, but look at the characteristics that he gave us. He gave us ears to hear. He gave us eyes to see. He gave us a nose to smell. He gave us senses. He gave us taste buds. I mean, what a God we serve. And to leave him out of our stuff, I think we make a grave mistake to leave him out of our relationship. And we try to wrestle with each other without God. And when you don't have God, what we're wrestling with tend to overcome us, and it tends to drive us away. We might have that perfect person or the person that's right for us, but if we don't have God, then our vision is blurred. And I think that's what Sister Drina was talking about, is that, you know, when she was younger, she didn't see right. But now that she is older, she has a different understanding. And the tragedy is when we get older, but we don't have a different understanding. The saddest thing in the world, and I don't want to say this, but I'm going to say it because it's on my heart, is when you can put a 50-year-old in a room and put a 16-year-old in a room, and you can't tell the difference from the conversation to what the clothes they're wearing to what they like doing. 60-year-olds say, well, I play PlayStation all day. The 50-year-olds say, oh, man, I play PlayStation all day, too. Well, I listen to Rick Ross all day. Oh, man, I listen to Rick Ross all day. A 50-year-old and a 16-year-old should have some differences. And so, and I'm not just going to the rap thing. I don't want nobody to, no wrong with rap. No, I'm not saying that. I'm saying that when you mature, when you allow God to mature you, you have a different understanding about life. Your understanding should be different than somebody that only lived 16 years. And so we run into problems in our relationships because we have not allowed the Creator to be a part of the solution or to give us insight or give us divine wisdom and insight to what we're dealing with. Nothing under the sun is new. So I don't care what we're dealing with. Homosexuality ain't just popped up. That's been here. Infidelity ain't just popped up. It's been here. Adultery ain't just popped up. It's been here. Any and everything that we're doing today, it already has been done. And God has had his judgment on certain behaviors that we participate in. And so I know I kind of took the rest of the show, but this was on my heart. And I want to thank everybody for calling in, Brother Gerard, Brother LB. We're going to play his commercial. Brother Dennis, who's the bus driver to this thing. Sister Drina, Brother Gerard. Powerful panel. And I want everybody, if I can get this panel every week, man, I believe we can help some people along the way as we bring up these topics. So, Brother Dennis, Brother Dennis, jump in right here, man. What do you think about the program?
Man, I want to send a shout out to Peso. I want to send a shout out to my mama. I want to send a shout out to everybody that tuned in. I really enjoyed the show. I mean, I got a list now of what the women want. in a relationship. Brother Gerard, I get what he said. I'm gonna have fun, man. It was really nice. It was really nice.
Yeah, and then we'll try to do it a little bit earlier next week and get the round table going early. Maybe I just, you know, add my commentary in the middle of the call of the round table. So thank you, everybody. We love you. God bless you. Keep supporting Western World Network, and we'll see you next week.
The Western World One Network has never been easier to connect with Blog Talk Radio, Facebook, Twitter, and WesternWorldOne.com. Until now, by using our mobile app, just log on to www.WesternWorldOne.com and click yes to the mobile app. That's it. That's all. One button does it all. WesternWorldOne.com.
On-Time Home Repairs, where we are rehabilitating America's one home at a time, specializing in remodeling, full kitchens, and bathrooms. Also, a 24-hour emergency handyman service for electrical and plumbing issues. No job is too small. We do it all. All it takes is one call. 773-698-5720. Ask for LB.